You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea.
And for all my Buckeye fans out there, my Bleacher Report team stream, Ohio State's Urban Meyer has named JT Barrett the starting quarterback over Cardale Jones this Saturday versus Rutgers at 8 p.m., and it says, quote-unquote, he has earned the right.
Quite frankly, it's something he should have done before game number one.
Thank you. But
we both said that.
Better late than never.
Better late than never, and they're still undefeated. Rough for Cardale Jones, never lost a game.
It's good. And his draft status has dropped significantly. Three rounds. At least.
Absolutely. 216-578-0850. We're going to get in the offensive grades in just 1 second, but let's go to Rick and Talmadge now. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
This defense, there's no reason. It's a scheme. You got to have four down, shooting the gaps. I mean, if you pitch the center, the guards pitch in center, put in Meade, Hughes, Cooper. I mean, put them all in there, shooting the gaps. Don't even engage in the offensive linemen. And they're going to have to pitch in, too. There's nowhere for anybody to run except the outside. And you got your linebackers out there. It just makes no sense that somebody's going to run up the middle if you got four down pitching in. Shooting the gap. I mean, don't even engage. You don't even have to engage. You get through the gap before they move, you're through. You either got the running back or you got the quarterback. It just makes no sense.
Well, I think it's a little bit easier said than done to just shoot the gap and get a free run into the backfield. But
no. Yeah, but they got to double team somebody.
Correct.
I played football. I know how to play football, man. I mean, you got to get through the gap. You can't get stuck on a block.
Right. And if it was that easy, then every play would be a sack or a tackle for a loss, which is not the case in the National Football League. You keep hearing people want four down linemen, Matt. There are plenty of 3-4 defenses in the NFL that have been effective at stopping the run. It's not a matter of a 3-4 defense can't stop the run.
Right.
It's a matter of our defense is currently not stopping the run.
And would we not be content giving up 100 yards a game? Because 100 yards a game would put us at, like, what, 15th?
Absolutely, we'd be content with that. Yes. When you look at the NFL right now and you look at the team stats rushing defense in the National Football League, as it were, yeah, that would put you in a very comfortable, handsome spot there at 100 yards per game. Right now, the number one rush defense is the top five all give up under 90 yards per game. If you were giving up 100 yards per game, 101.7 or 100 would make you 14th in the NFL.
Wouldn't we take that?
Of course we would take that. We're giving up 149.8. The next closest, Miami Dolphins, 141, 138, 132, 129. Yes, any improvement would be very, 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 very,
and
very helpful.
And on the same accord, you know, as we talk about ourselves and our preparation for what the Rams or the Cardinals and the Ravens and the Bengals and the Steelers are all going to do to us, you know, we're going to do to them, what do you think they're doing when they look at the film of us? Do you not think Todd Gurley off a bye to be able to rest that knee and get that offensive line some rest are licking their chops?
Of course.
I'm just saying, it's like, you know, we talk so much about ourselves, but you have to understand the outside perspective on how people look at the Cleveland Browns. And until you fix that, you're going to be the whipping boy.
Well, you're going to get tested every single week. Teams are going to come out and say, we are going to run the football.
And the Denver Broncos, who couldn't do it all season long, did that.
Yes.
That's a good question. And again, it seems like it to me being there at First Energy Stadium, but I would be surprised to understand the Denver's offense first down percentage run pass.
For other teams?
No,
against
just
us?
Against us, just this past Sunday.
We could go back and we could get it off of.
Yeah, but I just meant like.
They threw it 48 times and they ran it 33.
Right.
So they were still a little bit more pass-heavy than run, but they certainly did a good job running the football, and they ran it especially well at the end of the game to kind of ice it with Ronnie Hillman down there, who ran for 111 yards against the Cleveland Browns in the win over there. Let's go into the offensive grades quickly. Quarterback, We will start there. Josh McCown, 20 of 39, 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He was sacked 4 times on the day and ran for 12 yards as a scrambler. Josh McCown's grade for you against the number one defense of the Denver Broncos.
I'm going to give him a C overall. I thought, you know, the sack, I think he put on himself for not checking to the right protection. And then the throwaway that ended up being an interception, just an all-in-all bad decision. And in this case, that particular throw did not lose us the football game, but a bad decision like that at the wrong time can lose you a football game.
Yeah, I'm going to call it C minus, below average. He was the first quarterback all year to throw for multiple scores against this Denver defense, but too many mistakes and too costly of mistakes. The pick six, obviously, to Aqib Talib was huge. I'm going to give him a C minus in this game. The running backs for the Cleveland Browns, we saw 3 of them. Duke Johnson, 9 carries, 38 yards, 3 catches, 18 yards. Isaiah Crowell, 11 carries for 32 yards, 2 catches for 9. Robert Turbin, 10 carries for 27 yards. As a group, they averaged just about 3 yards a carry. Duke Johnson, the only one of the three above 4 yards per carry, going against, again, a very difficult defense for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, because of the defense, I'm going to give them a C as well. 3.3 yards a rush, not good enough. Not the type of threat that we thought they would be out of the backfield. You got to, you know, lump in Malcolm Johnson and that play, you know, late in the football game, out to him in the flat, which they rallied and corralled him very, very quickly and got him to the ground. So I'll give him a C minus. But more so than anything, the reason why I'm being so critical is that defense is really good.
Very good. I'm going to give them, again, a C minus for that group as well. I thought it was average. I didn't think it was spectacular. There may have been confusion with Malcolm Johnson on that blitz off the outside when Shaq Barrett ran in untouched and caused the sack fumble. So a C minus there. The wide receivers, it's tough. You almost have to give 2 grades. Travis Benjamin's grade and then everybody else's. Benjamin caught 9 of his 13 targets for 117 yards. Andrew Hawkins, 1 of 4 targets, 25 yards. Taylor Gabriel, 1 of 2 targets for 5 yards. And that was it amongst the wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm giving them a C as well. Travis Benjamin's pulling that grade up higher. But these guys need to win in one-on-one situations. They need to find those zones and understand their role within this offense and be consistent each and every week. I don't want, you know, 1 catch 1 week, 6 catches the next. And I know the game plan and the quarterback determines how many touches you have, but when you have opportunities, you have to make them, because I thought when we distribute evenly throughout our wide receiving or our playmakers for that matter, we are a very good offense, and I thought that Josh McCown, as you could see, the rapport that he's built with Travis Benjamin, he goes to him as a number one wide receiver very, very frequently.
I'm going to go ahead and give Travis Benjamin an A. I'm going to give the rest of them a D.
An average that is?
Probably a C minus.
Okay.
Because C gets pulled down. But Travis Benjamin to go for 117 against this team is incredibly impressive. Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, they're playing as well as really any cornerback duo in the National Football League. And for him to go out there and continue to show that, hey, not only am I the guy, teams are scheming for him now, but that he could come out and he could have a 117-yard game against them is incredibly impressive to me. This Denver defense, number one in the NFL, as I said, they had not allowed multiple touchdowns. They had not allowed going for a 300-yard passer going into this game. In fact, for the season, they have been the toughest on wide receivers in the entire NFL. They hadn't even given up 100 yards to a wide receiver group in a couple of the games prior to this one. He became the first wide receiver to go over 100 yards against this Denver Broncos defense all season long. So, A for Travis Benjamin there. Tight ends, Gary Barnage, 2 catches, 3 catches on the day, 39 yards, 2 touchdowns, 9 targets, only 3 connections. Jim Dre continued to be ineffective blocking. Rob Housler was out with a hamstring. I'll give them a B because Barnage's catches were money, 2 touchdowns in the red zone.
They were. I'm going to give them a B as well. I think, Barnage is a real threat. And him, the rapport that he's built with Josh McCown is something of value. And you can see it each and every week. Only 3 catches, but 9 targets, 2 of them being touchdowns. He is pulling that grade up. Nothing out of Housler, nothing out of Dre, other than maybe some blocking.
And finally, the offensive line, they did give up 4 quarterback sacks, 8 quarterback hits on the day. Now, Josh McCown took some credit for that. He was under pressure quite a bit. 16 dropbacks for him on the day. He was under pressure for Josh McCown, and that's out of a grand total of, 42 plus 46. So 16 out of 40, that's not bad. It's just above 33%. That's not bad. That'll keep him in the, you know, the upper echelon of the league. I don't know if the hurries were there as well, but he was under pressure quite a bit on the day. They didn't do a great job in the run game, considering DeMarcus Ware wasn't there, and this group is supposed to be elite, which it is. At this point, it's not an elite offensive line.
No.
I think we need to accept that. I'll give them a C+.
I'll go even just a little bit more critical, because I thought the perception was that Josh McCown was under pressure a lot more to my, you know, naked eye and watching the football game live than it seems statistically it was. So I'm going to go with the C. There were lanes there at times in the run game, and I thought they blocked him up and covered him up, but then other times that great defensive front just really exposed some inadequacies along our offensive line.
Yes, indeed it did. All right, those are the offensive grades. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the first hour hearing from Carlos Dansby, talking about this game and some other things as well. And then we'll get into hour number two here on Cleveland Browns Daily. In the second hour, we'll go around the league. We will also have the Sunday grades on the defense special teams after further review and your calls and tweets. 216-578-0850. It's Gurren Wilhelm. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford.